Archers, for the week 18 to 23 July 1999.
It's Sunday morning and David and Ruth are making the most of it.
This is the life, eh?
Make the most of it. There'll be no sitting around in deck chairs once we get underway with the harvest.
Hope this weather holds.
Perfect, isn't it?
Hey, has Dad said any more to you about this scheme of his?
Which particular scheme would that be?
Extending the grazing.
Oh, that. No, not since he suggested that we tried it this year. Why?
Oh, I just wondered if you'd given it any more thought.
I'm still worried about it, if that's what you mean.
You're not keen?
I think we'd be pushing our luck trying to manage without a third cut of silage.
Well.
Well, what?
If we could depend on the weather being halfway reasonable.
But we can't, can we?
Well, we can't guarantee it, no. But if you look at the balance of probabilities.
You what?
If we have an average sort of autumn, you know, not too cold, not too wet. Well, it could work really well.
Big if, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think it's worth a try.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Just for this year, see how it goes. If it's a disaster, we'll go back to the old way.
If it's a disaster, we'll be ringing round the county begging for anyone's leftover silage.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. We won't be begging any off the Grundys, not after last time.
Morning!
Oh, hi, George.
Hiya.
This is a surprise.
Pull up a deck chair.
You know, I was looking for your dad, actually. I tried the bungalow, but...
Oh, no, they've gone to church.
Ah. Well, I thought they'd be back by now.
Can I give him a message?
No, it's nothing. I just wondered if he'd, Well, look, I'm doing this thing at the game fair end of next week.
Oh, of course. You're picking up your award, aren't you?
Well, there is that, yes. But I'm also doing a bit for this living and working in the countryside event. And I've never been much of a one for public speaking.
You've got to make a speech?
It's not a speech, exactly. Christine was going to run through it with me, but she's gone up to Grey Gables this morning to help Peggy get ready for this party.
It's going to be quite a do by the sound of it.
Oh, aye, grand fuss.
Are you not looking forward to it?
That's not my kind of thing, to be honest. Too many people all talking at once and a band on top of it. Can't hear yourself think. I said to Christine, if ever I make it to be 18,
oh, you can... look, here's Mum and Dad now.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Jill, how are you? How's the knee?
Much better, thank you.
Here, Mum, you have this chair.
You got rid of the crutches, then?
Yes, and it won't be long till I can throw away my walking stick. Thank you, darling.
Oh, hello, George.
Morning.
Didn't see Chris in church this morning.
Oh, no, I was just saying, she got a call from Peggy, could you come and lend Anne? Something to do with Mr. Woolley's party.
Really?
And, I'm not one for going to church on my own.
Well, I shan't be going either if they start introducing guitars and drums.
Oh, Phil, that's just idle gossip.
What's this?
This business of the new hymn books.
Well, I'm not so sure it is idle gossip.
Hello, Grannies. Hello, Grandad.
Oh,
hello, darling.
Have you come to walk up and down our stairs again?
Not our stairs.
Yes, our stairs in our house.
Oh. Not our house either. It's your Gran and Grandad's house.
But we live in it.
For the moment, yeah.
Grandad and I want to come back soon.
But we like it here.
Anyway, George, what brings you here?
Well, I came to see you, actually.
We like it lots.
Here, be quiet.
So do Grandad and I.
Why don't you let me do that?
I can manage.
You should be taking things easy. At least sit down and put your feet up.
I'm no good at putting my feet up. You should know that by now.
Well, it's time you learned. Now, come on, let me do lunch.
No, I want to do it. It's only going to be salad. I'm quite capable of picking the slugs off a few lettuce leaves on my own.
Darling.
What?
You can't just pretend that nothing's happened.
I'm not trying to pretend. I had a miscarriage. These things happen. It's not the end of the world.
No, but you're bound to feel a bit...
Don't tell me what I'm supposed to feel, Tim. I know what I feel.
And what's that?
Like I've been kicked in the gut by a horse. There's an avocado in the fruit bowl. Would you pass it over?
Okay, if that's the way you want it.
I do, Tim, honestly. I'll be fine, just so long as I can keep busy. There's really nothing to be gained from sitting around moping.
It's not a question of moping.
And you know as well as I do, there's no point in agonising about why.
No. Miscarriages often happen for no reason.
Exactly. That's what the midwife said when I had the scan.
But you can't help feeling...
The best thing just put it down to a bit of bad luck and start again.
I mean, I feel...
At least we know there's nothing wrong with me physically. All my bits and pieces are in their proper places.
It's just such a disappointment.
Of course it is, but there's no point dwelling on it.
Particularly after last week, after that first scan, seeing the baby.
Look, Tim, I know it's the thing these days that you're supposed to confront your grief and consult counsellors and the rest of it. But as far as I'm concerned, that's just picking at scabs.
Oh, now, come on.
No, honestly. Bad things happen in this life, and the best way to deal with them is just put them firmly behind you and look to the future. Now, would you fetch me down some olive oil from the cupboard there?
Right. Fine.
Lucky we didn't tell the world. Just goes to show, doesn't it, how wise it is to wait before spreading the news.
What about Nigel and Elizabeth?
I'll give them a ring in a day or two.
You sure?
Of course I'm sure.
Only I don't mind doing it if you...
If I what?
Don't feel up to it.
You're quite determined, aren't you?
What?
That I'm not going to be able to cope with this.
I just think you may find it harder than you think.
Well, thank you for that vote of confidence, Doctor. Oh, I'll tell you one thing you can do for me.
What?
Give Jason a ring. Tell him not to come this week. I think I might find his relentless cheeriness a little hard to take.
So these features are not naturally occurring phenomena, but rather the product of generations of human interference.
Can I just interrupt for a minute?
Yes, of course.
I thought you said you weren't giving a speech.
Not a speech as such. What it is, you see, it's like an exhibition. It's called Living and Working in the Countryside.
And you're an exhibit, are you?
Well, yeah, I suppose I am, in a sense.
A real live gamekeeper.
No, but, you see, I have to explain to folks what it is I do. But the point I'd really like to get across is how what city folks think of as natural isn't natural at all. I mean, they see hedgerows and woodlands and they think... Well, they think it just happened like that.
Yes, whereas you and I know...
You and I know the countryside is like it is because of the people who live in it and work it.
Mm, absolutely.
Well, these days it seems to be the fashion to knock the farmer and the huntsman and the gamekeeper.
Oh, I know. You can't turn on the TV or open a newspaper, but somebody's having a go.
But if there weren't people like us, creating a habitat for game birds, maintaining the woodland and the cover, well, that habitat wouldn't be there for the wild birds either.
No.
And you wouldn't see woodpeckers or jays, let alone your nuthatch or your tree creeper.
Hmm. I'll tell you what you need to do, George.
What?
Throw your piece of paper away.
Eh?
Well, that stuff you've prepared, I mean, all you need to do is chat to people like you're chatting to me now.
Oh, but I can't do that.
Yes, of course you can. I mean, I expect they'll ask you a lot of questions.
Oh, but if they don't? I have to be prepared with somewhat to say.
No, I think you're worrying too much.
No, Eck. I've never been any good at this sort of thing.
Oh, you'll be fine.
I could just see myself standing there like a lemon while people point at me and whisper.
Can I come in?
Yes, of course.
We were just wondering, George, if you'd like to stay for lunch.
No. It's very kind of you, but you see...
It's only cold meat and salad.
I dare say Christine will be back.
Mum and Dad are staying, aren't you, Dad?
You what?
You can't leave it alone, can you?
What?
The piano.
Well, I miss it.
You should have had it shifted down the bungalow.
No, there's nowhere to put it.
Well, I dare say you'll be moving back very soon, won't you?
Yes, possibly next week.
What?
Well, I thought once we've got the barley cut...
Oh, soon as that, eh?
Possibly. Dad, I just wanted a word.
I mean, Jill can't wait to be back in her own home.
About your plan for extending the grazing.
What?
Ruth and I have discussed it. You know, the longer rotation, not grazing the paddock so tightly?
Yeah.
We've decided to give it a go.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, that is good news.
I never really appreciated this kitchen before.
Didn't you?
I don't know how you manage.
Manage what?
In the bungalow. There are no free surfaces.
Depends what you're used to, doesn't it?
Take something out of the oven and there's nowhere to put it. And I swear there's something wrong with the thermostat.
I know what you said.
I made an ordinary Victoria sponge the other day. I thought, I can't go wrong with that, but it turned out dry and heavy.
I've never used it for baking cakes.
Well, neither shall I in future. I'll wait till I'm back here.
Oh, you will let us get the harvest out of the way.
I wasn't suggesting we should move back this minute. But my leg's so much better now. I'm managing famously with the stick. Stairs aren't a problem anymore. In fact, they're good for me.
It's just we brought so much of the kids' stuff over now, it's going to be quite a mammoth operation to shift it all back again.
Pip does realise this is only a temporary arrangement, doesn't she?
Oh, yeah.
Only she seems to think she's going to be staying.
Just wishful thinking.
I don't want the children getting too settled.
Don't worry. Now, is that everything?
Mayonnaise.
It's in the fridge.
No, I'll get it.
No, let me...
I can manage. The exercise is good for me.
So, what's all this about drums and guitars in church?
Oh, it's just silly gossip. Suddenly, the rumour mill's gone into overdrive. And people are talking about some sort of rock group for the family service.
A rock group?
With Janet playing lead guitar.
Does Janet know?
He's talking about driving us up there in the Bentley.
Oh, that'd be nice for you.
Staying for lunch, George?
Oh, no, thanks for the offer, but...
I tried to persuade him.
I hope Christine will be home by now. There can't be much left to do for yon party.
Peggy must have got it all sorted out long ago, surely.
Perhaps Jean-Paul's throwed a wobbly.
Is he doing the catering?
Caroline's the best person to deal with Jean-Paul.
I expect what they're doing is putting in crash barriers.
What?
Oh, to keep the rival factions apart.
Oh.
You know, like a football stadium.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Well, there'll be Aldridge's at one end and Tony and Pat's family at the other.
Oh, David.
Well, it's going to be pretty explosive, isn't it? From what I can gather, Jennifer can't talk to Pat without bawling like a fishwife at her, and Tony's threatening Brian with pistols at dawn.
It's not that bad.
Well, there've been one or two nasty scenes from what I hear.
I think things have calmed down a bit.
Mm, not much.
And I'm sure everyone will forget their differences just for the evening.
It'd be a shame if anything spoiled Jack's party.
Well, it would, but I'm afraid David's got a point.
What?
It'll be a miracle if we get through the whole thing without the two sides of the family coming to blows.
Good wishes on your birthday from Betty Tucker and family. Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
Do you want one egg or two?
Are they coming tonight?
I've invited them, yes.
Oh, two eggs, I think.
Are you sure you're going to be able to eat all this? Sausage, bacon, fried bread. I hate to think what this will do to your cholesterol level.
It's my birthday.
I know.
I'm allowed treats on my birthday.
That's why I'm cooking it for you. Now clear those cards out of the way.
Ah, I've just got one more to open.
This breakfast is nearly ready.
Oh, Peggy, just look at this.
What?
This card. Isn't that the most beautiful thing you ever saw?
Well, it's big, certainly. Who's it from?
Hazel.
Oh.
Dearest Daddy Jack. Oh, bless her. She hasn't called me that for years.
Really?
Oh, what a shame.
What?
She's not coming to the party.
But you knew that, Jack. I told you.
But I was sort of hoping that... Maybe she'd come anyway. You know, as a surprise.
Oh, Jack.
Oh, never mind.
What does she say?
Dearest Daddy Jack, utterly desolated that I shall miss the party, but you know how it is.
How what is?
The film business, Peggy. They always work such antisocial hours. She's probably off on a shoot somewhere.
Do you think so?
Hmm. Anyway, she says, have a ball. Hope it's a riot. Lots of love, Hazel. Oh, and she's put a whole row of kisses on the bottom. Isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't give up, do you, Mum?
Well, I'm just terrified of what's going to happen when Brian finds out.
There's nothing to find out.
So you haven't seen any more of Simon, then?
No.
Are you going to?
Well, as a matter of fact, I've invited him along tonight as my partner.
What?
He should be here any minute.
Oh, Debbie, what have you done?
Joke, Mum.
I wish you wouldn't.
Look, we're in the middle of harvest. My social life is, of necessity, on hold for the next couple of weeks.
But after that...
Oh, look, there's Gran.
Oh, yes. Hello, Mum!
What on earth is she wearing?
Oh, it's that dress that Jack bought her. She absolutely hates it.
Hello.
Oh, Debbie, don't you look nice?
Oh, thanks.
Lovely dress. Where's Brian?
Oh, he'll be along later. He sends his apologies.
Yeah, we're combining the barley. Someone had to keep an eye on things, and he drew the short straw.
More to the point, where's Jack?
Oh, he's here somewhere. Yes, look, he's over there with Caroline.
Oh, yes. Did he like his present?
I think so, yes.
Well, you don't sound very sure.
I knew we should have stuck with the aftershave and the hankies.
It's just that everyone's gifts and good wishes have been rather overshadowed by a card he got from Hazel.
Oh, she did remember then, did she?
Only because I told her to. Jack was so hoping she'd be here tonight that sending a card was as far as she would go.
Hello, Mum.
Oh, Tony, there you are.
Hiya. Evening, Tony.
Evening.
Is Pat here?
Yeah, she's over there with Helen.
How is she?
Oh, not too bad. She was a bit down in the dumps last week.
Well, it must be a terrible worry for her, this business with Tommy.
Yeah. Oh, well, he sends his apologies, by the way. He thought it best not to come.
Oh, very diplomatic, Mum.
Now, it's a condition of his bail. He's not supposed to associate with any prosecution witnesses.
Yes, he explained that to me already.
Oh, did he?
So we're not allowed to talk to him, even if we wanted to.
Now, look, you two. I'm not going to let anything spoil Jack's party. So there is one subject that is banned tonight. I don't want to hear a single word about genetically modified crops. Is that clear?
Yes, Mum.
All right. Do stop scowling at each other.
I can't understand it.
Oh, we only just lost.
Have you tried this fish thing?
5 runs, that's all.
Fantastic.
But after all that information I gave you on the team...
Hey, what's this pink stuff?
Oh, it's a sort of caviar.
Really? You let them beat you by 5 runs?
I could really develop a taste for this.
Little Croxley, too. You should have hammered them.
You're not a bad team, Little Croxley.
No, certainly played well on Sunday.
Oh, come on.
You weren't there, Sid.
I know I wasn't there. That's because I was doing my homework for next week's game.
Who are we playing next week?
Borchester Mills,
yes,
away.
Yes, I'll tell you something really interesting about Borchester Mills' ground. There's a nasty patch just outside the leg stump at the pavilion end. Now, you pitch it right, the ball will turn at right angles.
Really?
Yep, and their opening bat is particularly weak outside the leg stump.
I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to play next weekend.
What?
Sorry.
But Neil's already cried off and Eddie's doubtful.
Always the way, isn't it, harvest time. If you want me to fill it?
No, I'm sure, manage. And you're doing such a great job researching the team.
Oh, yes. Another thing about Borchester Mills. Their number 4 has been caught out in the slips in 5 of 7 innings so far this season.
Really? How interesting. Hello, Debbie.
Hiya.
Hey, have you tried the buffet?
Good, is it?
Fabulous. Do you think if I ask nicely, they give me a doggy bag?
Granny sent me over to tell you men to stop talking about cricket.
Hey?
How did she know?
Intuition. And will you please go and find your wives and ask them to dance?
Dance?
To this?
You're joking.
Jack is getting worried that nobody's dancing.
Hardly surprising, is it?
Oh, come on, it's not that bad.
I never really got the hang of ballroom dancing.
Hey, by the way, Debbie, did you see that article
in... Don't change the subject.
Oh, which magazine was it?
GQ? FHM?
Oh, shut up. No. It was one of the farming bags.
Oh, come on, Alistair. You can dance, surely.
Not to this, I can't.
All you have to do is hang on to the other person and sway a bit.
Oh, that's what my customers are doing at chucking out time, is it? Slow fast shot.
You should have a word with Ruth. She'll give you a salsa demonstration.
I don't think Tommy Croker could quite muster the rhythm for salsa.
Anyway, it was about sugar beet.
What?
This article.
Oh, come on, David. This is a party. You're not allowed to talk shop.
No, but it's really interesting. It was about this GM variety they developed.
Yeah, and Graham has made us swear on pain of death that we will not mention genetically modified crops.
You don't want to provoke a diplomatic incident, do you?
Mm.
This is Debbie. Debbie and I aren't going to pick a fight.
I'm glad to hear it.
Even so.
And actually, this article has rather swayed me over to your point of view.
Well, the case for GM sugar beet is pretty unarmed.
Oh, Lord. I'm going to go and get another drink.
Yeah, dance with your wife, Sid.
I mean... I have been pretty anti-GM on the whole because of the potential damage to the environment.
What, the thing about total weed eradication?
Exactly. Wipe out your weeds and you lose your insects, which has a knock-on effect on the birds.
But with non-GM sugar beet, you're spraying all the time anyway.
Right. I really think we should change the subject.
Nothing else gets a chance to grow.
Exactly. Whereas with the GM variety, they only have to spray a couple of times.
Exactly. So you get loads more weeds and all your beneficial insects.
If I were you, I'd shut up now.
Really made me rethink my entire...
Shut up, David!
What's your problem? Hello, Tony.
Hiya. Well, don't let me interrupt.
No, you weren't.
Grand party, isn't it?
Yes. All right, what's going on?
Nothing.
I was just telling Debbie about this article I read, that's all.
What about?
Sugar beet.
What, these experiments they've done with GM varieties?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I read that. Couldn't believe it. I mean... First of all, they're trying to sell us GM technology on the basis that it'll sort out your weed problem. Now they're boasting about how it actually encourages weeds.
Yeah, but the point is...
I mean, talk about having your cake and eating it. Yeah, and they never mention, do they? The potential effect on insect life of the actual genetic mutation?
Well, why should that affect...
Remember the case of the GM maize and monarch butterflies?
Oh, no, and that was completely different.
It was an unforeseen side effect.
That maize was specifically bred for pest resistance.
Oh, right. Butterflies are pests,
No, of course not.
Look, sorry, I didn't mean to
provoke... But they were using a natural bacterium pesticide.
Natural? messing about with genes?
Which even organic farmers use.
Tony.
What's that got to do with nature?
Your mother's heading this way.
Oh, no.
So, shall we talk about something else?
Yeah, right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to...
Before we leave the subject entirely...
David!
No. This is about Tommy. Tony, did the police get in touch?
What about?
About me seeing Tommy cutting the grassland.
What?
That day when they thought he might be off trashing that crop in Northamptonshire, I told the police I can give him an alibi.
You did what?
You mean the police haven't told you?
No.
Oh, I don't believe this. I saw him out mowing your hay meadows, and then I saw him again later on, so there was no way he could have got there and back.
But that is brilliant. Oh, David, I could kiss you.
I'd rather you didn't.
But I must go and find Pat. There'll be such a weight off her mind.
It's just sometimes I look back on my life and I think, well, what have I achieved in 80 years?
Oh, come on, Mr. Woolley.
A great deal more than most.
You were a raggy-ass kid from Sturchley who started with nothing. Look at you now.
Oh, I know I've done quite well in material terms, but have I actually made a difference?
What do you mean?
Well, have I helped other people?
Hundreds of them.
Well, have I spread a little happiness?
Well, I'll tell you someone you made extremely happy, and that's Mum.
Oh, do you think so?
Well, I must confess I had my doubts when you two got married, but these last few years she's found real contentment.
Yeah, and doesn't she look a picture in that dress?
And I certainly wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for you.
Oh, I'm sure you'd have done all right without my help.
Just have easily ended up inside again. God knows I had a few brushes with the law when I was younger. But you gave me a shove in the right direction.
And think of all the people in the village who owe their livelihood to you.
That's right. All the staff at Grey Gables.
And at the Echo.
Yeah. Betty in the shop.
You made a huge difference to a lot of people's lives, and you should be very proud.
Do you know the one thing I really regret?
Oh, what's that?
I just wish Hazel could have been here tonight.
Hazel?
You know, your stepdaughter.
Oh, her.
She did apologise. Sent me a lovely card. And I know what a busy life she leads, but... Oh, it would have just made this evening perfect.
Jack?
Hmm?
There's a photographer here, wants a photo of you and the family.
Oh, that'll be Josie from the Echo.
No, he says he's from Borsuch Alive.
Oh, I say.
Borsuch Alive? They're covering my party.
Now you really know you've made it, Mr. Woolley. Usually it's only ons and viscounts getting the pages of Borsuch Alive.
Well, where's Peggy?
She's over there with Tony. Come along, let's go and find
right.
her.
Oh, Alistair. Yeah, before I forget.
What?
Another thing about Borchester Mills team. They always bring a spinner on in the 10th over.
It's such a relief, Mum.
Of course it is.
I mean, not that I didn't believe Tommy.
But this proves he wasn't involved.
Yeah. Here, look at Pat. She's got a great big grin on her face.
Oh, it's lovely to see her smile.
Yeah. She hasn't smiled like that since... Well, I don't know when.
But why didn't David tell you?
Well, he says he told the police. He assumed they'd be straight on the phone to us.
Well, come along, Mum. Jack wants the whole family in this photograph.
I don't want to be photographed.
But it's the Borsuch Alive.
I don't care if it's for Hello Magazine.
Oh, now, come on, Tony.
Besides, won't be the whole family, will it? With Tommy not being here?
It's a bit of a farce anyway, isn't it?
What?
Us playing happy families with a camera?
Yeah. Now, stop it, both of you. This is for Jack. And if I can allow myself to be featured on the pages of Borsuch Alive in this ghastly dress, then you two can forget your differences for 5 minutes.
Here he comes.
Right, now smile, the pair of you. Come along, Tony. You can do better than that.
Oh, Peggy, isn't this wonderful? We're going to be social event of the month in Borsuch Alive.
Yeah, well, it's not every day you're 80, Jack.
And it is a splendid party.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Hazel just doesn't know what she's missing.
Sundays weren't at Jack's party last night, and nor was someone else.
Janet, come up with his name. Ethel. Oh, I can never get me tongue round it.
Ethel Fled's Maidens.
Oh, you've heard about it, have you?
Yeah, Hayley was telling me at the party last night.
Oh, Hayley were there and all, was she?
Yeah, a lot of people were there.
Except for us.
Oh, Clary.
Saw Betty took her dinner time. She was full of it.
Well, Betty does work for Jack.
Yeah, I know.
I think Hayley was only invited because Marjorie needed someone to give her a lift.
Oh, yeah. probably. Now, do you want me to take these churns out of the parlour?
No, let's leave them out here. Tony can shift them.
OK.
Anyway, you're doing a bit of boat building tonight, aren't you?
Well, not much point me going, really. All I do is hold hammers and saws for Janet and Ruth. They're the experts.
Are they?
Actually, I might be better staying home tonight making a start on the costumes.
Oh, you've got lumbered with that, have you?
More up my street than boat building. Trouble is, Eddie wants a costume too.
Whose team's Eddie on?
The ball.
Oh.
And he's making no end of a fuss about it. Got to be authentic, is it? Well, I've no idea what's an authentic Viking, have you?
No, not really. Oh, here's Helen.
I suppose Eddie has either, to be honest.
She's early. Hello. What are you doing home at this hour?
Time off for good behaviour.
Oh, that's nice. Your gran's just arrived.
What's he doing here?
Oh, she came round with a piece of Jack's birthday cake for Tommy.
Oh, she's talking to him then.
Yeah, of course she is. They're in the kitchen getting the tea ready.
Great. You went to this party too, did you?
Certainly did.
Sounds like it were quite an occasion.
Yep, an occasion. That's what it was, all right.
Oh, come on, Helen. It was great fun.
It was okay, apart from the band.
Yeah, really it's time even Tommy Croker Jr. was put out to grass.
Well, have you seen all these posters around the village?
What posters?
Something about Thor Nogson, Axe Marksman.
Oh, yeah, I saw one of them.
What's it all about?
It's going to be one of the attractions at the fete.
Thor Nogson? Name sounds familiar somehow.
This Viking thing's really taking off, isn't it?
Yeah, here there's going to be some kind of raft race.
Now, a longship race. What, ain't you in a team?
Certainly not.
I have tried to persuade her.
Oh, but it'll be such a laugh, Ellen.
Not my idea of
fun. You could be in our team. You can be one of Ethel... maidens, yeah.
Thanks for the offer, Clary, but I think I'll pass.
What about Helen? Did she enjoy it?
I haven't really spoken to her today.
I'm afraid the younger generation might have found it all a bit sedate. No flashing lights or loud disco music.
Gran, some of us know how to have a good time without disco music.
Oh, it was such a shame you couldn't come.
Yeah, I'm really, really sorry to have missed it. Sounds like it was great fun.
Well, Jack enjoyed it, and that's the main thing.
Look who's here.
Oh, Helen, how nice. We were just talking about you.
Nothing libelous, I hope.
The tea's just made. Get another mug down.
You're home early.
Well spotted.
Gran brought me around a piece of birthday cake.
Ooh, he's a lucky boy. And how are you, Gran? Recovered from last night?
Just about.
What time did you get to bed? It's well after 11 when we left and Jack was still going strong.
Yes, he'd have carried on all night given half a chance.
I was just saying how sorry I was not to be there.
Yeah, it was a shame.
Do you want to go out for a drink this evening?
What?
Can't promise to match up to last night's festivities, but if you fancied strolling down to the ball...
Well, I don't know.
Oh, go on, Tommy. You deserve a night out.
OK, then. Thanks.
Have you told Gran that you finally heard from the police?
Finally heard what?
About David.
Oh, that he saw you last Monday.
That he can give me a cast-iron alibi, yeah.
Can you believe it took them 5 days to let us know?
Typical if they asked me.
Why didn't David tell you himself?
Oh, he's not supposed to talk to me, with him being a witness for the prosecution.
Could have told Mum, though, couldn't he? Or Dad, or me.
Well, I think he assumed that as soon as he told the police what he'd seen, they'd pass the message on to us.
Could have spared us a lot of worry.
Never mind. It's all sorted out now.
You didn't have to worry. I told you all along that other raid was nothing to do with me.
I know you did.
But you have to admit, Tommy, it did look very suspicious.
Look, I wouldn't even go to Grandad's party for fear of violating my bail conditions. I'm hardly going to go trashing another field in broad daylight, am I?
Pretty stupid of your girlfriend to drop you in it like that.
She didn't drop me in it.
But with her being there...
What about it?
Well, it was only natural that the police should conclude this was the same gang who destroyed Brian's crop.
So you're suggesting that Kirsty and the others had something to do with the home farm incident?
Well, didn't they?
Good question, Gran.
As my lawyer keeps reminding me, I really can't comment.
Don't be cheeky.
I'm not. Lucia's always telling me to keep my big mouth shut.
Well, you're seeing her this week, aren't you?
Tomorrow.
And how long before you get to court?
Oh, God knows. Anyway, I've got to go and do the milking.
Oh, aren't you going to eat your cake?
I'll save it for later. But thanks for bringing it round, Gran. And thanks for the tea.
Take care.
See you later.
OK. Thanks, Peggy.
What for?
Forgiving him.
I haven't forgiven him. I still think what he did was extremely foolish.
Don't we all?
But I can't be furious with him forever.
No.
And it's a great relief to know he wasn't involved in that other business.
Oh, I can't tell you. It's like a weight lifted off my shoulders.
Yes. You're looking a bit more cheerful than you did last week.
Well, is it any wonder? I mean, I know he's still in deep trouble, but at least now he seems to understand what he's got to face.
Eddie, what is this?
What?
It come in the post.
Ain't opened the post.
Oh, no, you ain't. You stuck it on the mantelpiece, unopened, like you always do.
Well, it was only another load of brown envelopes.
Yeah. One of which was from that farm machinery dealer.
Who?
That you got the forage harvester off.
Oh, what they say?
What the hell did you think you was flying at, Eddie, writing them a cheque?
The tactic.
I'll give you a tactic.
Right, open the gate for us, will you? This lot's done.
You know darn well what the bank said.
All right, I'll do it.
They're not going to pass any more cheques till we do something about that overdraft.
Go on. Off you go.
I mean, the odd 20 quid you went to in a blind eye. For 2,800.
We're just buying a bit of time, that's all.
Thank the Lord you forgot to sign it, so they just sent it back.
I didn't forget.
Eh?
That's the old point.
Eh?
I needed to get them off me back for a while, okay? So I wrote them a cheque, but I deliberately didn't sign it.
Oh, where's the point in that? We're no nearer having the money now than we was a week ago.
Ah, well, now, that's where you're wrong.
Hey?
Come on. In you go. I just needed a few days to get things sorted, and I have.
What do you mean, sorted?
I got the money.
You ain't?
I have.
How?
Never you mind.
You ain't done nothing stupid, have you?
Are you calling stupid? We was going to end up in court if we didn't pay off that plumbing dealer.
I do know.
So I had to get the money from somewhere, and I have.
Where?
Took a bit of doing, I can tell you. Well, I needed time.
Where did you get it?
Well, I had to do a bit of networking. You know, calling the odd favour.
Oh, who owes you any favours?
Friend of Baggy's.
Who?
And this friend, well, he has a friend.
What's his name?
Oh, it's no one you know.
So, this mysterious friend of a friend of Baggy's, who owes you a favour? He just gives you 2,800 quid.
Yeah.
Just like that.
I've got to pay him back, of course.
You borrowed it.
Oh, he gave it me out of the goodness of his heart. Of course I borrowed it.
Eddie, the old reason the bank won't lend us any more is because we can't even pay the interest on what we owe already.
Well, that's banks for you, isn't it? Bend over backwards to lend you money and then clobber you with interest payments.
And this friend of Baggy's, he ain't charging you no interest.
Look, we're just coming into harvest time. The amount of contract work I'm going to pick up over the next 6 weeks, I can pay it back and have some left over.
You sure?
Had a call from Mike Tucker only this morning. Do I want to take over grain oil up at Home Farm Thursday?
Why ain't he doing it so?
This is going to be over at Brookfield. So you see, everything's going to be fine.
Wish I shared your optimism.
Now, how are you getting on with my Viking tunic?
I'll give us a chance. I only just got in from work.
I was thinking, you remember when Edward made that Roman helmet for his school project?
Yeah, what about it?
What did he make it up?
Paper mache, why?
I was thinking I might make a Viking helmet.
Paper mache?
I could take the horns off my hat and stick them on the sides.
Pound to a penny, you're going to end up in the river.
Nah, not me.
Now, what happens to paper mache when it gets wet?
Honestly, Tom, you should have seen what she was wearing.
Grand?
She was done up like the fairy on the Christmas tree, all flounces and sequins.
It's the dress Grandad bought her. She told me about it. She hates it.
Well, it was so embarrassing, I can tell you.
And you all had to be photographed for Borsuch Alive?
I hid behind Uncle Brian.
Mum said the band was pretty awful as well.
Oh, God, it was like party time with the Adams family.
So, I didn't miss much then.
Fantastic food and unlimited booze, but apart from that...
Didn't meet anyone interesting?
Met Bishop.
Oh, wow.
Actually, he's a hoot, and he told me this very risque joke.
Good evening.
Oh, hello.
Hiya.
You're still at large, then?
What?
How many fields do you have to trash before they bang you up?
Oh, don't start, Eddie.
If you're referring to that other incident...
Tom, we agreed.
That was nothing to do with me.
Oh, yeah, pull the other...
We're not going to talk about this. Not this evening.
For your information, I have a cast-iron alibi.
A quiet drink, we said.
What I don't understand is how you lot... managed to get yourselves nicked all the time. I mean, it's pretty difficult to get caught red-handed in the dark in the middle of the countryside.
Yeah, that's why we do it in daylight and let the police know what we're up to.
Hey?
We want to get caught. That's the whole idea.
No, but hang on.
Can we change the subject, please?
It's a matter of principle. But I don't suppose you'd understand about matters of principle.
Oh, really?
Tom.
What about the principle that it's wrong to go round destroying other people's property?
The point is, when someone else's alleged property is a threat to the wider environment...
Right, that's it. Going on.
No, don't you rush off.
The overriding principle...
I've had enough of
no,
this.
You sit down. I've got to go any older. I'm only here because I'm supposed to be lending a hand building our long ship for the fate. I'd better go and show Willie, and I'll see.
I'll have to see you first.
Tom!
What a prat. Do you want another drink?
I think you've had enough.
I thought everybody understood by now why we go out of our way to get arrested. We do it deliberately.
You didn't.
Well, we're amateurs then. We didn't understand how to do these things. Shame, really. I was saying to Kirsty last night, if only we'd had...
What did you say?
What?
You saw Kirsty last night?
Well, yeah, I did, actually.
You're kidding?
One reason I wasn't devastated that I couldn't go to the party.
Are you mad?
Perfect excuse, wasn't it?
What? Well, you tell people you can't associate with anyone related to the case and then you go off and spend the evening with Kirsty.
Well, she's not related to the case, not my case anyway.
She's another activist though, isn't she?
So what am I supposed to do? Stay away from my girlfriend until the trial's over?
Is she all you think about?
Not all the time, no.
Tom, this is serious. You could mess up everything, your whole future. So if you've got one gram of common sense, you'll stay away from Kirsty until this is all over.
Can Tommy be persuaded to keep his nose clean?
Usha!
Oh, hello. What are you doing here?
I'm waiting for my mother. I'm hoping she gets here before that traffic warden.
Oh, dear.
It's a mistake to let her loose in Underwood. She's probably buying up the entire stock of romper suits and cuddly toys.
Oh, but grandmothers are allowed to be indulgent. It's their role in life.
But Mummy does tend to get rather carried away.
And how's Elizabeth?
Oh, blooming, thank you.
And what about you? Are you looking forward to being a dad?
Can't wait. It's going to be fun. Always supposing we can stave off bankruptcy in the meantime.
Oh, dear, is it threatening?
Oh, well, some unspeakable bounder has decided to open up a brand-new purpose-built conference centre the other side of Felbisham.
Oh, no.
And I'm not sure we can withstand the competition.
Well, that's a bit of a blow, isn't it? It
certainly is. I think we're staring ruin in the face.
Oh, dear.
Mind you, we stare ruin in the face at least once a year, and we usually seem to claw our way back from the brink. Jill, what are you doing here?
Hello.
Hi, can I give you a hand?
No, I'm all right, thanks. I can manage. You haven't seen Phil, have you?
No.
Hope I haven't missed him. I had to pop into Underwood, so he said he'd drive around the block.
I'm afraid I pinched the last parking space.
I thought you were harvesting this week.
Starting tomorrow. That's why I had to get into Borchester today. There won't be anyone to drive me after tomorrow. It's the one thing I still can't cope with, driving.
But you're walking practically normally.
Not bad, is it? I saw your mother in Underwoods, Nigel.
Buying the place up, was she?
No, same as me. Just getting a couple more balls of wool.
More wool?
Both discovered the same problem. The pattern says 6 balls, but it's going to take nearer 8.
You're knitting baby clothes, are you?
Sure. Julia and I are knitting one each.
Well, that's the theory, anyway. Last time I saw Mummy's, it resembled a sort of lacy dishcloth.
Oh, look, there's Phil. I better go before he creates a traffic jam. I'll see you this evening, Nigel.
Oh, yes, of course.
Bye, Jill.
Bye, dear.
Ooh, anyway, I'd better get back to work.
I hear you're defending Tommy.
Yes, I'm supposed to be seeing him this afternoon.
How's it going?
Well, let's just say I'm learning more than I ever wanted to know about the subject of genetic modification.
Hi, Debbie.
Oh!
Sorry.
Where did you spring from?
I've been here a few minutes. I didn't want to distract you.
Has my dad seen you?
Well, nobody's set the dogs on me yet.
What are you doing here anyway?
Aren't you pleased to see me?
No, not in the least.
Not even a little bit.
Look, I told you, we are up to our necks in the harvest.
You know what they say, all work and no play.
Yes, and farmers at harvest time are very dull people.
You could never be dull.
Oh, shut up.
And the prospect of not seeing you for 3 whole weeks was more than I could bear.
You managed without seeing me for 8 whole years.
How did I do it?
So what difference is another 3 weeks going to make?
Well, we've got a lot of catching up to do.
Well, it's going to have to wait.
Hi, Debbie.
Oh, Elizabeth.
This is Simon. Yes, I remember.
Hi.
Hi.
You remember?
Yeah, don't you?
Well, it was a long time ago.
It must be, about 8 years.
What are you doing here?
Oh, I just dropped by to see your mum. She wanted some info about Alex's new exhibition.
Alex who?
Winter.
Oh, yes, your pet artist.
Yes. She's got a show on in Birmingham.
All right.
So, Simon, I hear you've just landed a new job at Felbisham University.
Mm-hmm. Debbie told you.
Oh, yes, I've heard all about it.
She's such a gossip, isn't she?
I am not.
And I hear you're expecting twins. Congratulations.
Thank you. Anyway, I can't stop, but I'm sure we'll meet again.
I hope so.
You must bring him over to Lower Loxley.
Right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. She's nice.
Yes. Now, do you think you could shove off and let me get on with my work?
Well, actually, there's a reason for me being here.
Yes, you said you can't bear to be apart from me.
Yeah, that too. But I've got the details of another apartment, and I'd like you to come and look at it with me.
When?
This evening.
Simon, I don't know how else to phrase this. I am working.
You gotta stop sometime.
You're not till at least 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock's fine.
Yeah, but then it'll take me another hour to get into Felbisham.
No, No, this flat is in Worcester.
Oh.
Well?
Well...
Great. Shall we say 8:15?
Now, as we've discussed, the line we're going to take is that you had what's called lawful excuse for what you did.
Yeah, I understand that.
Well, there are three elements to this related to your case. Firstly, concern about the possibility of cross-pollination of the GM rape with weed species.
Yeah, the modified gene leaking out into the wider environment. Mm.
Secondly, the danger of contamination of Bridge Farm crops with genetically engineered pollen grains.
Which could threaten our organic status.
Yeah. Now, the third thing is the imminence of the threat. In other words, the rape crop was about to produce pollen.
Yeah, that's why we had to act when we did.
OK, so that's the line of defence that we're going to take. Now, in order to back it up, we'll need to call several expert witnesses. Now, obviously, I've talked to the Soil Association, but I've also been in touch with Friends of the Earth's Greenpeace and Gene Watch.
You've been busy.
Yes, I have.
You're going to be quite an authority by the end of this.
I shall be able to go on Mastermind.
I was wondering, actually.
What?
Well, since you've done all this homework, wouldn't it be a good idea if you defended my mate? You know, the ones who got done for decontaminating that field in Northamptonshire.
Shall we just get your case sorted out first?
But it would make good sense, wouldn't it, for you to represent them in court?
Well, I'm not going to be representing anyone in court, Tom. We'll be appointing a barrister to do that.
But it would save a lot of work, wouldn't it, if you and this barrister could take on my mates?
If your friends want me to represent them, they're perfectly free to get in touch. But I can't approach them, OK?
All right.
Now, as I was saying, I've contacted all these pressure groups and also some specialist institutions, like the National Pollen Research Unit.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
Well, there is. And they can give expert testimony on the carrying of pollen by the wind and by the bees. Then there's the Pesticide Trust.
Never heard of them either.
Well, this is an education for both of us then, isn't it? Their main area of concern is that herbicide-tolerant crops will lead to the wider use of pesticides.
Right.
Okay. Now, what we're going to do is ask each of these different groups to supply us with an expert witness.
What, and they'll stand up in court?
Well, no. Initially, I'll ask each of them to submit a brief statement of what their evidence might be, and then I'll cross-question them and sort of refine their statements, and then eventually we submit the whole thing to the prosecution.
Complicated, isn't it? And we've got to get it right.
That's why it all takes so long.
Usha, it would be a real waste of effort, wouldn't it, if my mates had to go through the whole process again with someone else?
Can you stop worrying about your mates?
Would it be all right for me to ring them, or maybe go and see them?
You know the terms of your bail, Tom.
Just to suggest that they get in touch with you.
No association with other activists.
But no one would know.
What are you telling me for, then?
En suite bathroom, I see.
Yeah, pretty cool, huh?
Not bad.
You don't like it?
I didn't say that.
Well, at least it doesn't smell like that last place we looked at.
Yeah, wasn't that awful? Damp carpets and chip fat.
So, what do you reckon?
Oh, it's a bit out of your league, I should have thought.
What do you mean, out of my league?
Expensive.
Well, I can afford it. I'm not some fly-by-night visiting lecturer now, remember? I've got a decent contract.
I do like the view from the balcony down onto the square.
Yeah. I never realised Worcester was quite so cosmopolitan.
Well, only this bit, the old wool market.
Antique galleries, pavement cafes.
Yeah, my cousin used to live in one of these flats.
Who, Elizabeth?
No, her sister.
And was Cousin Elizabeth's sister happy here?
Don't know. She was married at the time to a lawyer.
So, what do we think?
Well, wouldn't you be better off finding somewhere in Felpsham?
I prefer this.
It'd be quite a hike for you, getting into university.
But it's handy for Ambridge.
Are you sure you're getting your priorities right here?
Absolutely.
An expensive flat miles away from your place of work.
You see that cafe right across the square?
Mm-hmm.
We can go down there in the morning, sit under the awning and have coffee and croissant.
Who's this we?
Oh, come on, Debbie. I'm not planning on living here alone.
Really?
What do you think attracted me to the Felpersham job?
It was the only one on offer?
The possibility of seeing you again.
You make it up as you go along, don't you?
What?
Last week you told me you were quite convinced I'd been married with half a dozen kids.
I was afraid you might be, but I was still prepared to travel halfway across the world on the off chance.
I can't believe a word you say.
And here you are, unattached and still the most beautiful girl I ever met.
Not one single word.
You still fancy me. A little, don't you?
You have a certain wrinkled charm.
Don't you mean rugged?
Nope.
Like Clint Eastwood in the Bridges of Madison County?
Not remotely.
God, you're gorgeous.
Yeah, and I also have to get home.
Oh, come on, Debbie. Don't you think this apartment's right for us?
It may be right for you, Simon, but I'm a Dell farmer, remember? And I have to go and put some barley through the dryer.
It's not the fact that the bungalow is small. I mean, when your father and I were first married, we lived in Coombe Farm. And the rooms there were really pokey.
So what is it you don't like about it?
I don't know. It's just such an inconvenient house. Everything's in the wrong place.
Not for Ruth and David.
Well, I wish they'd move back.
Next week, you reckon?
I'm hoping. Once the barley's been cut.
Oh, that reminds me. I called round Home Farm today, and there was Simon.
Simon who?
Gerard, is it? You know, Debbie's boyfriend.
I didn't know she had a boyfriend.
The one she was madly in love with years ago.
When?
Oh, Mum, you must remember, she dropped out of university because of him.
You don't mean the one she was going to run off to Canada with?
That's him.
Goodness.
Yeah, he's back on the scene.
Didn't he and Brian
don't think they exactly hit it off, no.
So what's he like?
Well, he seems very nice. A bit older than her, but quite good-looking, in a kind of craggy way.
Talking about me again?
Hello, Nigel.
Debbie's chap.
Oh, this Canadian.
Anyway, she obviously fancies him rotten. You should see the way she looks at him.
Like I look at you, you mean?
Yes, darling, just like that. Pour yourself a glass of wine.
What have you done with Phil?
Oh, he's just talking to Lewis.
Did you go and look at the art gallery?
Yes, nothing much to see, though. They've just been fixing the roof, you know, replacing broken tiles and flashings. Can I top you up, Jill?
Oh, thank you.
Wouldn't Lewis like to come and have a drink?
I did ask him, but Mummy's persuaded him to give her a lift into the village.
She came to the village for at this hour?
I've no idea.
Oh, well, I'm not complaining. We shall have a peaceful evening. I shan't be nagged about sitting out here on the terrace.
What's wrong with that?
I might get damp.
But it's a lovely warm evening.
Yes, but the dew can creep up on you unexpectedly. Honestly, if Julia had her way, I'd spend the next 5 months sitting in a padded cell with my feet up, drinking only distilled water.
Have you told her you're going to London tomorrow?
Not likely. I don't want to lecture on the hazards that await pregnant women in the metropolis.
What are you going to London for?
Oh, well, we've got some fairly major clients who are wavering over their booking.
And we can't afford to let them slip through our fingers.
So I'm going to go and be terrifically nice to them. Take them out to dinner and that sort of thing.
Will you be staying overnight?
Yes. If I came back, I wouldn't get back here to the small hours, so I'll come back on Friday.
So you're going to be all alone tomorrow night, Nigel?
Yes. I shall be horribly lonely.
I tell you what, why don't you give Tim and Siobhan a call?
Yes, I might do that.
I mean, they won't mind talking about babies. We haven't seen them for ages.
Give us a note to me, Becky.
Oh, just a second, Joe.
What are you doing?
Slip one, knit two together.
Oh, big pardon, I'm sure.
Slip stitch over.
Don't let me interrupt. I'm only a customer after all.
And knit two. Oh, sorry, Joe. It's just if I stop in the middle of that bit, I can never work out where I am.
What are you knitting? Jumper for Neil, is it?
Oh, don't be daft.
Well, you know, don't I?
Since when has Neil worn white lacy pullovers?
I don't know what he wears under them overalls of his, do I?
No. Tobacco, was it?
So, who's it for, then?
Never you mind. That's £3.95.
You're Emma?
No.
Oh, I get it.
What?
Don't you worry, missus. My lips are sealed.
What are you talking about?
Who'd have thought it, eh? Good old Neil.
What's about
him? Oh, I ain't got the change. Hang on. I got a fiver here somewhere.
Afternoon.
There you go.
Oh, just a second. Let me just put this knitting away.
Yeah?
Afternoon.
Hello, Joe.
Oh, that's nice, that is. She won't stop her click-clacking for me.
Oh, I won't be a minute, Nigel.
It's all right, I only want some stamps.
But as soon as somebody important comes in the shop...
By the way, Joe, how's William getting on?
He?
Up at Grey Gables.
Oh, of course, he's a working man now, isn't he?
Working all the hours God sends. Well, they don't pay him but a pittance. I'd say they was exploiting him.
Surely not.
Except he does it of his own free will. Even there on his days off, he is.
Well, he must be enjoying it, then.
Daft bigger.
There's your change.
Right, I best be off.
Hope you got your umbrella, Joe. See? It's coming on to red.
Would you believe it? Just as everybody's getting into harvest.
Bye. Now, stamps, you said.
40 first class, please.
Right, do you mind books?
Fine. Oh, by the way, Susan, have you been at the surgery this week?
I was up there this morning, why?
Did you see Dr. Hathaway?
Only in passing.
But he was there?
Yeah, why?
I wondered if they'd gone away. Only, I've phoned a couple of times, but I keep getting the answering machine.
Thanks for the lift, mate.
Do you want me to pick you up in the morning?
Oh, yes, please.
What are you doing over this hour?
It rained, didn't it?
I know, I got caught in it.
So they've had to call a halt for today.
Just my luck, innit? Nice few days grain all in work lined up, and I gets cheated of it by the blooming weather.
Anyway, since we got the evening free, do you fancy doing a bit more work on our launch yet?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, come on. Good excuse to go down the pool.
Yeah, I suppose.
Right. I'll see you there about 7:30.
Yeah, OK.
Right, cheers, then.
Well, since you're back so early, you can do the milking.
Ain't you done it yet?
I got the cows in.
Well, you can blooming milk them then, can't you? I did it this morning.
What's that with you?
Oh, nothing. I'm just annoyed about losing this afternoon's work.
You'll make it up another day.
You suppose it rains again tomorrow and carries on into next week?
Got to get the harvest in sometime.
Then my first payment will fall due and I won't have the cash.
What first payment?
I borrowed a bit of money.
How much?
Best part of 3,000 quid.
3,000? Who's going to lend you 3,000 quid?
This bloke.
What bloke?
I was getting worried, you see, Dad, about them threats of court action.
Rumming for a harvest,
eh?
Yeah. Yeah, me and all. I've been expecting to be this any day.
I had to do something. I happened to bump into this mate of Baggy's, who I once fixed up with a motor.
Not fat Paul with the tattoos.
Yeah.
Well, you ain't got 2 halfpennies to rub together.
Oh, but he knows a bloke who has. Introduced us, didn't he? Oh, nice bloke you were and all. Dead helpful.
Oh, well, that's great. You got it all sorted, then?
Yeah, but I've got to pay him back.
Well, it goes without saying.
And, like, soon. Otherwise, he starts charging interest.
At least young William's paying his way now.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Chopping the kids. Did Neil say anything to you about his missus?
What about her?
She's expecting.
You what?
Susan Carter. Gonna have another baby, isn't she?
You kid.
I went in the shop this afternoon, and there she was, knitting a layette.
What's a layette?
You know, baby clothes.
Did you go out today?
I had every intention of doing a bit of gardening. But of course it came on to rain.
Yeah, it's quite a downpour, wasn't it?
So I did a bit of work instead.
Oh, how did it go?
Well, not brilliantly. I managed a couple of pages, but I couldn't really concentrate.
Hardly surprising.
Still, it's a start. Another day or two, and I should get right back into the swing of it.
Well, don't push it. Oh, is this all the milk we've got?
Oh, yes. Could you pop across to the shop before it closes?
Yeah, sure.
We're running a bit low on bread as well. I don't suppose they'll have much left at this hour. But if you can get a sliced loaf or something.
Why don't you come with me?
You can manage on your own, can't you?
Well, of course. It's a lovely evening.
I can't face plodding all that way across the village green.
Or is it that you can't face people?
No, don't start that.
What?
Psychoanalyzing me.
I wasn't.
Telling me what I should and shouldn't be feeling.
I wouldn't dream of it.
You go to the shop and I'll finish making the tea.
All right.
Oh, and by the way, Nigel phoned.
Oh, what did he have to say?
And then he called round this afternoon. But I was upstairs having a lie down.
He didn't answer the door?
No.
So how did you know it was him?
I looked out of the window and I saw his car.
You weren't avoiding him?
Look, by the time I'd pulled some clothes on and gone downstairs and answered the door, he'd have gone anyway.
You said you were going to talk to Elizabeth.
I will. Just as soon as she gets back.
Back from where?
She's gone to London. That's what Nigel said when he rang.
So, you spoke to him?
He left a message on the machine.
But you were here. Why didn't you pick it up?
He said Elizabeth's away till tomorrow and he's lonely and would we like to meet him for a drink?
Oh. Well, how about it?
Not tonight, Tim.
Might do you good.
You go if you want to.
I don't want to go without you.
Why not?
Oh, come on, just for half an hour.
No.
Oi! Neil! Over here, mate!
Oh, I was just waiting for Susan. She's getting some crisps.
Dad, don't believe me about this dragon's head.
What?
Front end of a Viking ship. You tell him.
Oh, well, there's a prow that sort of rears up, and on the top there's this head.
Oh, it reminds me. Super stud.
What?
Congratulations are in order.
Oh, yeah. You're a dark horse, ain't you?
What?
Talking of rearing prows?
Yeah, who's that clever boy there?
What are you talking about?
Your missus.
What about her?
Up the duff.
What?
Never thought you still had it in you.
Hang on a minute. Are you trying to imply that my Susan is...
Oh, Lord.
I don't believe this.
And she told you?
No.
Oh, dear, I think we might have jumped the gun a bit here, Dad.
I think you might have got hold of the wrong end of the stick.
Oh, no, you asked her.
Oh, here she comes now. Over here, Susan.
Evening, Joe. Evening, Eddie. Oh, isn't it lovely?
That rain's really cleared the air. What's the matter? Why are you looking at me like that?
Joe seems to think... I mean, it's daft, I know,
Afraid but... I might have spoken out of turn, missus.
What are you talking about?
Well, I naturally assumed you told him.
Told him what?
Joe seems to think you're expecting.
What?
You're not, are you?
Of course not. How on earth did you get hold of an idea like that?
In the shop this morning, you was knitting.
So?
Baby clothes, you was knitting baby clothes.
Oh, and that means I'm pregnant, does it?
Well, you wouldn't say what it was for.
Who else have you told, eh?
Nobody.
Suppose it's all round the village, is it?
Only Eddie.
And I didn't believe
it. Yes, you did.
Didn't.
I wonder how it is that gossip starts.
Well, in the time you showed me this long ship of yours, Eddie.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, well, come on then.
See you, Neil.
Yeah, I'll pick you up in the morning.
Oh, honestly.
Oh, that's a relief.
What?
Well, for one horrible moment, I thought you might be.
Oh, Neil.
So what's all this about knitting?
I thought I told you. Mrs. Pargeter came round last night. You were still over home farm.
Mrs. Pargeter?
Said would I do some more work for her. Well, I thought she meant typing, but she said no. Would I knit her this shawl? She'd been trying to do it herself, but she's hopeless. Anyway, she offered me 30 quid.
What?
And Neil?
Yeah?
If I was pregnant, don't you think you'd be the first to know?
I thought perhaps you'd gone away.
No.
I phoned a couple of times, and then I called Rad.
Yes, yes, Siobhan said.
Is she okay?
Oh, yes, yeah, she just didn't feel like... Well, no. No, the fact is...
I mean, just how stupid can you get?
Well, I want to know.
Evening.
Oh, hello. I just put two and two together.
Yeah, and made 15. You can buy us a drink for that.
Evening, Doctor.
Hello.
Never been so embarrassed in my life.
Why, what's happened?
He tells me Susan Carter's expecting.
Susan?
So, of course, I go and congratulate her husband.
Oh, goodness, it must be something in the water.
No, she ain't.
I got it wrong.
Nigel, do you think we can sit down?
Yes, of course. Are you all right?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I just...
It looks a bit queer, if you ask me.
You sure you're okay?
Yes. Yeah. No. No, I'm not, actually. Look, the thing is, we lost the baby.
Oh, no.
Yeah, afraid so.
Oh, you poor things. How's Siobhan? Oh, no wonder she didn't want to come out tonight.
Well, actually, she's fine. At least she says she is. Although she doesn't seem to want to see anyone just now.
That's understandable.
Well, she's being terrifically stoical. I think it might be better if she didn't insist on putting such a brave face on it. I mean, I've seen so many women who've had miscarriages.
Yes, I suppose you have.
And I know it doesn't work, all that pretending that nothing's happened.
Is that what Siobhan's trying to do?
Yeah, she just says she wants to keep busy. You know, get on with life. I don't think she's really come to terms with you know.
And how about you? I mean, how do you feel?
Pretty grim, to be honest.
I bet.
I mean, I'm trying to maintain a stiff upper lip, you know? Because that's what Siobhan seems to want, but...
I can't imagine. Or at least I can imagine, that's the trouble. My babies are so real to me now. If anything happened to them, it would be like...
A death in the family.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I've lost my child and I just want to... I just want to cry. It seems so unfair.
Of course.
But I can't. Because Siobhan thinks we should just put it behind us and carry on.
Just on my way to a call.
Hang on a sec, I can't hear you.
Ah,
I said I'm just on my way to a call.
Oh, right. Thought it was something important.
No, not really. I mean, I don't want to interrupt.
No, but a couple of minutes. Till the combine gets a bit more barley in the tank.
Then you fill your trailer?
Yeah, that's a general idea.
How's it going?
Well, the harvest. Well, that rain yesterday didn't help. But seems to have dried out pretty well.
Right. Any chance you'll be finished by Sunday?
What?
I mean, I know you said you definitely wouldn't be available this week.
No, I'm sorry, Alistair.
Only I'm desperate.
You always are.
I'm only going to have half a team at this rate.
Even if we finish the combining, I'm going to be up to my neck in baling.
Surely you don't have to start baling the minute the crop's cut.
Look, you can't say I didn't warn you.
No, I know.
Why don't you ask Sid?
No way. He's been pursuing me all week. I'm looking over my shoulder all the time, waiting for him to leap out of the hedge at me.
Well, if he's that keen to play.
No, no, he's not. Begging me to let him back in the team. The thing is, I suggested he should do a bit of research into our opponents.
Oh, yeah, he was banging on about that at Jack's party, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. And some of it's quite useful, but... Well, he can't do anything by halves, can he? I mean, does it really help me to know that their number three is colourblind?
Depends how dirty you're prepared to play.
Yeah, or that their spinner has an allergy to cat hair.
How does he find this stuff out?
Search me.
Obviously missed his vocation.
And what's more, he's worked out tactics for the entire match.
He should have been a reporter on a tabloid newspaper.
I don't go near the bull anymore. I went in for a quiet drink on Wednesday and got an illustrated lecture on where to place my fielders.
Illustrated?
Peanuts arranged on top of the bar. I tell you, I'm not letting him anywhere near the pitch. He'll just take over again.
Oh, you're going to keep him away? Oh, hang on. I better shift this trailer.
Send him to check out Edgerton.
Is that who we're playing next week?
Yep. And don't tell me you're unavailable.
Do my best.
Phil, can you give George a ring?
Hang on a minute. Just let me check this grain sample.
Oh, how's it looking?
A bit on the wet side.
Not surprised.
Take a bit of drying. I thought it would after that rain.
Good breeze this morning. Should be drying out quite nicely. Anyway, I can't stop. I just dropped by to give you the message.
And what message?
That George rang.
What did he want?
I think he wants to come over and chat about this game fair.
Oh, not again.
So if you could give him a call.
No, but I talked to him about it last weekend.
I know.
And I'm really not much help. I mean, he knows a great deal more about country sports and what have you than I do.
I think he just needs a bit of reassurance.
Oh, but this weekend, surely he knows we're harvesting.
He should do.
And if I do have a spare moment, I want to get on with working out the new trackways for the paddocks.
What?
Well, the new grazing system. We agreed, remember?
Well, we said we'd give it a go this autumn.
Yes.
I don't remember anything about trackways. That assumes it's going to be a permanent arrangement.
No, it doesn't.
Sounds pretty permanent to me.
Yeah, but you can't have a grazing-based system without a decent system of tracks.
Can't you?
Oh, I thought it was obvious. You've got to have access to all the paddocks.
Yeah, of course, but...
And you don't want a lot of toing and froing across them after they've been grazed.
Oh, this is getting to sound rather more labour-intensive than what I had in mind.
Oh, no, no, not at all. It's really quite straightforward. Once it's all set up...
I think we should talk it over with David before we go any further.
Fine. If it'll put your mind at rest.
What are you doing standing out here?
I'm waiting for Lizzie.
Oh, isn't she back yet?
No.
Oh, well, do you want me to come back another time, then?
I'm sorry?
For this meeting.
Meeting? What meeting?
You invited me to come over to talk about this new conference centre.
Oh. Of course, Caroline, I'm so sorry. It went clean out of my mind.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm just so horribly worried about Lizzie. She should have been here an hour ago, and she seems to have her mobile switched off, and I've just kept imagining... Oh, Lord, I should never have let her go.
Oh, did she drive down?
No, she went by train.
Oh, well, what do you expect? The London trains are terrible.
Are they?
There was an old chap of Mr. Woolley's come up from the party, and his train was delayed 3.5 hours.
3.5 hours?
Poor old chap arrived just as all the other guests were leaving.
Oh, dear.
He and Mr. Woolley sat up half the night drinking malt whiskey, along with Tommy Croker. It astonishes me, the stamina of some of these old chaps.
Oh, here's a car coming.
Is it hers?
Oh, thank God.
Seems to be all in one piece.
I am never going to let her out of my sight again.
Are you always like this when she goes away?
Like what?
Well, sick with worry if she's the least bit late back.
This is the first time she's been away.
What?
Since we knew about the babies.
Oh, I see. Yes, of course. You're worrying for three.
Lizzie, darling.
Hiya. Hello, Caroline.
Hello.
Oh, I'm so pleased to see you. Are you all right? How are the babies?
Did you miss me?
I was going frantic with worry. Is everything all right?
Of course it is.
But why are you so late?
Oh, that train.
There you are. What did I tell you?
It ground to a halt outside Oxford and just sat there for about half an hour.
You could have rung. And why have you had your mobile switched off?
Have I? Oh, Oh, sorry. Anyway, aren't you going to ask me how I got on?
How did you get on?
They've signed.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so that's one booking we don't have to worry about anymore.
Oh, Lizzie, you are so clever. Let's just hope Eenie and Meenie inherit your brains.
What, in your beauty?
Heaven forbid.
Anyway, Caroline, what brings you here?
Well, Nigel and I had actually arranged a meeting.
Had you?
To talk about Atherton Lodge.
Oh, the dreaded Atherton Lodge.
It's pretty bad news, isn't it?
Did you get the brochure?
Yes, it finally arrived. I picked it up from Shula yesterday.
Well, let's go in and have a cup of tea, and then we can make a wax model of Atherton Lodge and stick pins in it.
Keep going. Bit more. Right, stop there.
Thanks, Dad.
You must have nearly finished 5 acre, haven't you?
One more load, I should think. How is it?
Well, it's fine. Needs a little bit of drying, but nothing much.
Great. This lot could go straight in, can it?
Yes.
Okay. By the way, Dad, what's all this about laying tracks for the new paddocks?
Well, what about it?
Well, from what Ruth was saying, sounds like quite a major undertaking.
Oh, no, no, not at all. It's just to stop them trampling all over the place and poaching up the grass.
Oh, but do we really need to lay tracks?
I'm not talking about putting down hardcore and chippings.
No?
No. For now, we'll just do it with a bit of electric fence.
Oh, right.
I know you're not keen to do anything radical until you're convinced the system will work.
Oh. Well, it's still going to be a lot of graft, isn't it? I mean, we're talking a heck of a lot of electric fence.
Oh, not really.
I thought the whole point of this system was to save work, but if we've got to set up a whole network of new fences...
Oh, come on. If we all set to it, we can get it done in half a day.
Hiya!
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello.
How's it going?
Just getting to the end of 5 acre.
Great. Listen, I'm just having Mum on the phone.
Oh, what did she want?
Oh, is something wrong?
No, no. Only you know they were coming to stay the last couple of weeks in August.
Yeah?
Well, some friends of theirs have rented a villa in Tuscany and asked them to go along.
Oh, very nice.
Huh. Why don't we get invited to share villas in Tuscany?
We don't have the right kind of friends. Yeah. Anyway, my mum rang to ask, could they come here next week instead?
Next week?
Which will be fine, won't it? I mean, once we've got the barley in and there's a bit of a lull.
How long would they be staying?
A couple of weeks.
Right.
Sounds fine to me.
Great. I'm glad you said that, because I told her it'll be okay.
So, you'll be staying on in the house?
Well, it makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, obviously Mum and Dad will be staying at Brookfield.
Yes. Yes, of course.
And anyway, we're always going to stay till after harvest.
What, you mean till after the whole harvest?
Yeah. Why, didn't you?
Well, I think your mother had thought once the barley was in...
Oh, no.
You know, in that lull next week.
Well, there may be a lull in the actual combining, but we'll still be pretty busy.
Oh, yes, I know.
All the baling to be done.
And if my parents are here...
Yes, yes, of course.
It'd be a lot less trouble for Jill if we just stay put.
I don't like the look of it one little bit.
It's depressing, isn't it?
Especially all those bedrooms with ensuite facilities.
That's our problem. I mean, we can't offer accommodation.
Oh, nor an indoor pool, fully equipped gym and leisure centre. What's a leisure centre, for heaven's sake?
No, probably the same as a health club.
Well, at least you've got all these things at Grey Gables.
Oh, maybe. But we can't match the prices they're quoting. I just don't see how the place can offer all that at such a cutthroat rate.
It's probably a special opening offer. I bet they jack their prices up next year.
If Grey Gables charge that for conferences, we'd be losing money hand over fist.
Same here.
That'd barely cover what we have to pay you for overnight accommodation.
I'm giving you the best rate I possibly can.
Oh, I know you are.
To be perfectly frank, Grey Gables would really feel the pinch if we lost your business.
Does make us less attractive, though, doesn't it? The fact that we can't put clients up on site.
Well, at least Lower Locks has got a bit of character.
Big deal.
Even their fancy artist's impression can't disguise the fact that Atherton Lodge looks like a new supermarket.
The trouble with character is that it's horribly expensive to maintain. Always something rotting, leaking or getting eaten.
But the real threat is, well, the fact that there's another pair in the market.
Exactly. Grey Gables and Lower Locksley have managed to coexist pretty well up until now.
Mm, we have, haven't we?
Hardly stepped on each other's toes at all. With a third conference centre. I can't imagine there's going to be enough business to go round.
So what are we going to do?
I haven't got a clue.
Wait and see what happens, I suppose. And on that depressing note, I better get back.
Well, thanks for coming.
Don't get up, Nigel. I can find my own way out.
Let us know if you have any brilliant ideas, won't you?
What, like fish fingers and the Atherton Lodge curtain poles?
That sort of thing.
Right. I'll see you soon.
Bye, Caroline.
Bye. You know, Nigel, I can't help thinking...
What?
That it was a really stupid idea to start the art gallery just now.
Oh, no. Lizzie, you mustn't think that.
I mean, you had doubts, didn't you?
No.
You said we were too stretched financially after the Death Watch Beetle.
But, Lizzie, the bank agreed the loan. I mean, they wouldn't have done that if they didn't recognise it as a good financial risk.
The bank didn't know about Atherton Lodge.
That's got nothing to do with it. Look, the gallery's going to pay for itself.
Well, that's the theory.
Anyway, it doesn't really matter.
Well, it matters if we're going to...
No, honestly, Lizzie. Sometimes things happen, and it makes you realise just how totally trivial these things are.
What's the matter? What's happened?
Siobhan's lost her baby.
Oh, no.
I'm afraid so.
When? How? What happened?
Last Friday, apparently.
But I saw her last week.
I tried to ring them and nobody answered. And then Tim called and said, could we meet for a drink?
How is she?
Well, he says she's coping pretty well. But he's completely devastated, poor chap.
Oh, Nigel, how am I going to face them? Oh, God, it reminds me of that time when...
What?
When I was pregnant before.
Oh, Lizzie.
And poor Shula was desperate for a baby. And the way she used to look at me...
I remember.
All that longing. It seemed so unfair. And here I am again. How on earth am I going to face Siobhan?
The Archers was written by Caroline Harrington. The agricultural story editor was Graham Harvey. It was directed in our Pebble Mill studios by Louise Gifford, and the editor is Vanessa Whitburn.